Galatians chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. Today is the 4th of July. It's that day that we celebrate the birthday of this nation. It's the day we celebrate the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I often wonder what it must have been like to be in that room. I wonder what it must have been like for those founding fathers and those people who risked everything to come to a new place, start a new nation. Those who were willing to put everything on the line for freedom. You can see the title, Let Freedom Ring. Let freedom ring. There are two aspects of freedom that I want us to think about today, and included in those ideas are some lessons about freedom that I think it's important we never forget. And one of the freedoms that we think about today, obviously, it's our national freedom. The freedoms that we have because we live in the United States of America. And I'm just going to take time to stop and say something right now that's not in my notes, it's not in my outline, but I'm just going to say this. I'm not ashamed. I am not ashamed to say that I am a citizen of the United States of America. I'm not ashamed to say that I have a patriotic belief. I'm not ashamed to say that I wore the uniform of our military for 14 years. I'm not ashamed of any of that. And why do I even stop to mention that today? Because there are a lot of people out there right now in this kind of culture, in this world that we live in, who think somehow we should all go crawl in a hole and repent and confess and somehow say we're sorry for being Americans, and I'm not doing it. I'm not ashamed of it. We are the United States of America. We celebrate and exercise the freedoms that this nation, living in this nation, affords us. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, as long as we do it in the right way. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. One of the most famous statements from that Declaration of Independence that all those men together in that room signed that day was this. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What is liberty? Liberty is freedom. It's one of those unalienable rights that our founding fathers and then all the people that came here to start this new country thought was so important that they put it in this document, and it was the very reason they left their home country to begin with. Freedom is one of those rights that we enjoy today as Americans. We take them for granted so often. The fact that we're sitting in this room this morning is a freedom. There are countries in the world today where if people tried to gather in public like this, they would be arrested, they would put in prison, or even killed. And it's a freedom that we have. You better stay on your notes today or you're going to get in trouble. It's a freedom that we have, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to say it, we take it for granted. Coming together in public worship has become just another option for a lot of us in our culture, especially post-COVID. I'm not, and it's not even post-COVID yet. We're still going through that, and I understand it. I do. I fully understand, and I respect the choices and decisions of people to stay out of the public eye more because they're concerned or they're at higher risk. I fully understand that, but I can't stand here today and tell you that I don't believe that it has caused, it's allowed us to get comfortable where we just, we choose whether we're going to come to church or not. And it's one of many options that we have instead of a priority for a lot of people. And the other freedom that we think about today is our spiritual freedom, so our freedom in Christ. You see, our freedom as Americans, it's temporary. Why? Because this life is temporary. The existence of this nation is temporary. This world is not my home, as that old song says. We're just passing through. You see, we're citizens of this country, but as Christians, as born again believers, we are citizens of a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And we await that day while we live here in this world. We await that day when Christ returns to take us to be with him in his eternal kingdom. So our freedom as Americans is temporary because our lives are temporary, but spiritual freedom is eternal. It's eternal in nature and it's eternal in duration. And this freedom is found and experienced only by entering into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important freedom that we can have. And if there's any kind of freedom that we're going to chase after today, it needs to be spiritual freedom. You see, it's not bound by national or international borders. No matter where you live in this great big world, you can have freedom in Jesus Christ. No matter where or what form of government we find ourselves living under, we can live under the most oppressive form of government in existence today and still have freedom in Christ through a relationship with him. And nothing can take that away. So let's talk about some lessons that we need to understand about freedom this morning. Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. So the first thing that I want us to understand, and I think we all know it, but the first thing we need to be reminded of is this, that freedom comes at a cost. Our freedom comes at a cost. Freedom does not happen without sacrifice. We live in freedom as Americans because of the sacrifices of so many people who have come before us. Those first pilgrims who made the journey from the homeland of England in search of a better, more independent life, they made great sacrifices. Many of them didn't even survive the trip. And of the ones who did survive the trip, a lot of them died after arriving in what they would have considered at the time their promised land. But you know what? Those who survived were determined not to fail in this endeavor. They were determined to establish eventually a new country that could live in a freedom that they never experienced where they were before. Many died as a result of taking up arms during the Revolutionary War when England tried to stop us from experiencing this dream, but they refused to give up or give in. And ultimately, they overcame and established the original colonies that would eventually become what we know as the United States of America. But it came at great cost. It came with a lot of sacrifice. And over the centuries since then, sacrifices have continued to be made in order to preserve, to protect, and defend the freedoms that we enjoy today. And I just want to stop right here and say thank you to those who are serving today. I know, obviously, they're not here today because they're in service to our country. But I want to say thank you to those who right now are wearing the uniform and doing whatever they need, whether they're at home or whether they're overseas, wherever they are. Even though it's not wartime right now, we never know when that's going to happen. And I want to say thank you to those who are making that sacrifice, to those who have made it, who've made the ultimate sacrifice, to those of you who have served in the past. Thank you. And to those of you who are here today and are missing a family member because they gave that ultimate sacrifice, thank you. We live in freedom as Christians because of the sacrifice not of many but of one. We have freedom as Christians today because of the sacrifice of one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. Freedom. Freedom from condemnation. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. The freedom we enjoy as Christians, we enjoy because of the sacrifice of one, Jesus Christ, the only sinless person who ever lived, the only perfect person who ever lived, the only person who never committed a sin and therefore never had to pay the penalty for sin, but he did anyway, not for his own sin, but for yours and mine. One of my favorite Old Testament passages of Scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 53. And in that chapter, the prophet Isaiah writes about this sacrifice of the suffering servant or the Messiah who would be to come later. Listen to how Isaiah writes this. He says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God and smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us, you and me, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked. And with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." This is Isaiah writing, I don't remember how many years, hundreds of years, before even the birth of Jesus Christ, yet he writes about this sacrifice of the Messiah as if it's already happened. You want to talk about prophecy? And I know being a prophet has to do with telling the truth, but being a prophet also has to do with prophecy, has to do with being able to see and understand the future, things that other people can't see. And that's what is so always amazes me about this chapter is how Isaiah describes this future event as if it's already happened. That's the sacrifice that Jesus made. Jesus, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, the one who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He faced the penalty of our sin. He paid the price for our sin. He became the sacrifice for our sin. So why? So that we could be set free from the grip and the penalty and the power of sin. You see, freedom comes at a cost. There is no freedom without sacrifice. Whether it's our freedom as Americans or whether it's our freedom as Christians, we don't experience the freedom we have today without sacrifice. Here's the second thing we need to understand about freedom. We have to be careful with it. We need to be careful with our freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. We have to be careful not to give up our freedom. Not to surrender it. Not to relinquish it. Don't give up any ground. Paul says you've been set free. Jesus set us free so that we could be free. So don't allow yourselves to be taken back into slavery. Don't give up any ground. Satan is going to try to discourage us. Satan is going to try to deceive us. He's going to try to defeat us. And he's going to try to convince us that our freedom isn't real. So don't let Satan or anyone else talk you out of the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. Just don't let it happen. And how do we do that? Paul tells us, stand firm. Let me just ask you a question. In today's culture, in the discussions that we see on the news and in social media and stuff, how much more difficult is it becoming for Christians to stand firm? If I dare quote the Bible, I'm being a bigot. I'm being hateful. I'm being intolerant. If I dare take a biblical stand on the issues, the current social and cultural issues of the day, I'm just being hateful. Well, you know what? Jesus told his disciples that the world's going to hate them because the world hated him. So here's my determination: to stay true to the word the best I know how. And if people want to hate me, let them hate me. If people want to call me names, let them call me names. Listen, I don't like it when people, but over the course of our ministry, I've had people leave our church. We've had people leave the church because they didn't like the fact that I preached what the Bible teaches about certain social issues. I didn't try to do it in a hateful way. I didn't try to do it in a mean way. I'm just trying to be truthful to what the Word says. But it's becoming more and more difficult for us to do what Paul says, and it's simply this: stand firm and don't let anyone draw us away from what we're supposed to be. So we have to be careful not to give up our freedom. Now, all right, this might sound weird coming from me, but it's just Bible, okay? Here's the next thing we have to be careful of. We have to be careful not to exchange our freedom for legalistic requirements. You say, why does that sound weird? Why do I think that sounds weird coming from me? Because I'm just going to tell you, I've seen all the requirements. I've lived with all the rules and regulations. I lived for a lot of years thinking my spiritual life was dependent and determined by my performance. Do I dress the way I'm supposed to dress? Do I not go the places the church tells me not to go? Listen, I'm not saying any of that. Any of those beliefs are bad. I'm just going to tell you what Paul warns us about here. And in verses 2 through 6, he's telling the believers not to be sucked in to the Jewish requirements and practices. Specifically, he uses the word circumcision here. Now, why is that such a thing then? Because that was the primary thing. That was the primary belief and ritual that the Jews used at the time to separate themselves from Gentiles. They were better than everybody else. It was a matter of law. It was a matter of requirement. But what if we could substitute something else for that word circumcision? What if in my day it was, well, we don't go to the movies. I mean, the church allows us to do that now. But when I joined the church, we weren't allowed to go. The manual said we weren't supposed to go to the movie theater. Okay, I didn't. I didn't go. Why? Because I thought that's what I was supposed to be. So what happened? When I got to college and I saw other Nazarenes going to movie theaters, I'm sitting back here in shock and I'm like, wow, hell's getting hotter by the minute. Can I just say this? We have to be careful in our Christian walk not to try to apply external standards to someone's spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And just trust me, even after all these years, you really don't know how hard it is for me to say that. Even though I know it's true, and I've I think I've come a long way. I mean, if you'd have driven by my house yesterday, you would have seen me out most of the day on my lawnmower, and I was wearing shorts. And back when I grew up, that was a no-no. I mean, that was bad. Last weekend, Blood and I weren't here. We had the opportunity to go to Lake of the Ozarks. My best friend from high school, his name is Chris Harlan. Well, he's a year older than me, graduated a year ahead of me from school, but we played trumpet together. That's how we met. We met playing in jazz band and band together and stuff, and we just became friends. We were like brothers. I mean, I spent more time with Chris a lot of times than I did my own family just because of all the school band activities and different things. And his house, his parents, I mean, it was like a second home to me. I could go there anytime I wanted. If I got home late and needed a place to sleep, I went to their house instead of driving home. And I went down there because after all these years, you know, I tried to get Chris to go to church with me, and he would. He'd go to church with me. He'd play softball with us as a church group. He played basketball with us and all kinds of things. Chris was a really good athlete in high school, and we just loved spending time together. And the first time he came to play basketball with our guys, every once a week during the winter, we rented a gym at one of the local schools just to have something to do during the winter time, and a bunch of the guys from the church got together and played ball. Well, Chris came in. I never told him anything about it. We were just going to play basketball. He came in, and, you know, for the first game until he got warmed up, he kept his warm-up pants on. He kept his sweatpants on. Well, all of our guys were wearing sweatpants or jeans because we just didn't believe wearing shorts. We thought it was wrong. So we were fine the first game. After the first game, he was hot and sweaty. He sits down on the stage over there, and he starts peeling his sweatpants off, and he's got his gym shorts on underneath, and he plays the rest of the night in his gym shorts. And one of the guys from my church came to me, and he said, "Francis, I hate to even bother you with this, but does Chris know we don't wear shorts? Can you explain to him we don't believe in wearing shorts because it's not, we don't consider it to be modest and stuff?" And I looked at him, and I love this guy to death. We've been friends for a long time, And I looked at him, I said, "Man, is it really worth it?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Look, Doug," I said, you guys tell us to invite our friends to come to these things? You tell us to invite our friend to try to get people to come to church? I said, "I've been trying to get Chris to come to church." I said, "He hasn't come to church yet, but he came to play basketball tonight." I said, "Do you really want me to go to him the first night he's here and say, 'You can't wear shorts while we play basketball because we don't believe in it'?'" I said, "Is it really causing a problem for someone here?" I said, "If that's what you want me to do, then I'm going to leave." I said, Chris and I will go. I said, "Because I'm not doing it. I'm not risking that. I put a lot of time and effort." And he said, "No, don't worry about it. It's no problem." Later, Chris had a discussion with me about that, wondering about it. So I explained it to him. And you know what? From that day on, every time he went and played basketball with us, Chris wore his sweatpants or his warm-up pants because he didn't want to offend anybody. I never told him to. He just did it. Once he knew what was going on, he did it out of honor for our church. You know what? Last weekend, we were sitting around the table at he and Lori's condo, went down there and did his baptism service last Saturday morning. All the times he went to church with me, and all the times that I tried to be an influence in his life, and I wondered if I wondered what kind of an influence I left on him. And over 35 years later, we went and performed his baptism at Lake of the Ozarks because he now professes belief in Christ as his Savior. And we sat in his condo that day, and he said, Lori and I have been talking about this for quite some time now. And he said, "But I told her," I said, if anyone's going to baptize me, it's going to be Francis. But you know what? During that conversation, he brought that up. He told me he remembered that night going to play basketball with us and how I handled it. See, we have to be careful not to try to enforce, not to try to to tie our stipulations and our ideas of what it means to be a Christian. We can't tie those external standards to people who don't have any knowledge about that kind of thing. So don't exchange our freedom for legalistic requirements. Now, here's why it's hard for me to say that, because when I say that, then we tend to have people who go completely the other way. So here's the other thing that we have to be careful of. We have to be careful we don't misuse our freedom as a license to sin. Paul said, everything is permissible for me, but not everything's beneficial. So we have to make sure we don't use our freedom as a license to sin. In verse 13, he says, do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16, Peter says, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Once again, this last weekend, part of the conversation when we were at the lake, we were talking at one point about the different ideas of Christianity. And when Chris told me something like this, of all the people he knew that grew up, and I'm not picking on, he used this example. Okay, I'm just going to tell you his example. He goes, all these people that I've known grew up Catholic. And he said, I watched them do things that I know from other Christians that people weren't supposed to do who were Christians. And their answer for that was, that's okay, I'll just go to confession this weekend, it'll be okay. And it's not just Catholics that do it. I mean, come on. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, okay? So let's be honest. In the Wesleyan holiness tradition, how many of us have ever used that? Oh, well, yeah, I messed up, but it's okay because the Bible says God will forgive me anyway if I confess it. We can't live a life like that, not a Christian life. But see, that was a turnoff for him because he knew Christians should be different. But that mindset promotes the idea of taking advantage of grace and forgiveness. It says, I can do whatever I want and God's still going to forgive me anyway. All I have to do is ask him. That is an example of using our freedom to cover up evil and indulge in the sinful nature. And he warns us against that in our scripture for today. And Peter warns us in the verse we just read. So let's not take advantage of grace. Let's not misuse our freedom in a way that we think allows us to continue in a lifestyle of sin. And then I have to be careful that my freedom doesn't cause someone else to stumble. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9 through 13 says, be careful, however, that your exercise of freedom does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Because if anyone with a weak conscience sees you who have this knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't he be emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother for whom Jesus died is destroyed by your knowledge. And when you sin against your brothers in this way, when you wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I won't cause him to fall. Now listen, I know that can be taken to extremes, okay? Because it seems like no matter what happens, no matter what we do or no matter what we say, somebody raises a little flag and says, I'm offended by that. There's a difference in someone being offended and something that I do causing someone to sin spiritually. We just need to be careful that the things we feel, even if we feel it's okay for us to do, I'm not going to do it around this person because I know that's a stumbling block for them. We need to be careful about that. But we must always remember this last truth. We are called to live in freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16 tells us to live as free men and women, live as free people. So I want us to know this morning it's God's desire for us to be free. He gave us Jesus for that purpose. And it's Jesus' desire for us to be free. That's why he gave his life, so that we could be free. John chapter 8, verse 36 tells us that if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Are we living in freedom today? Are we living in freedom? If not, no better day than today to declare our independence from sin, confess our sin to Jesus, and ask Him to forgive us. Make it our own personal independence day. But if you are, if you're already living in freedom, we celebrate with you. And that's why I said this sermon title is Let Freedom Ring. Let's not be ashamed of our freedom. Let's share those freedoms with the people around us. To end this service, I've given Steve a video that he's going to play right now. And it's a song by the Gaither Vocal Band called Let Freedom Ring. So as we close our time together, let's watch this video. We'll be dismissed. It did play earlier. We watched it earlier. Let's leave this place and let our freedom ring. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for liberty. The freedoms that we share as Americans, but most importantly, the freedom that we experience in and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. May we leave this place today sharing that freedom with other people and living in that freedom that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed.